I'm so glad you're here because the presence of God abounds in this very place. Because our hearts are so ready to receive from Him, He lets His presence just shine upon His people, upon His children. If you're ready to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I want to take in whatever you want to speak into my life today. He will give it to you, and you're going to experience the power and presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you, and we praise your most holy name. And we ask you now, Lord, as your holy presence surrounds us, fills us, I just pray, Father, that no matter what we're going through in life, all of our anxieties, all of our cares, we cast it upon you because your word tells us to, because you care about us. So, Lord, we just want to honor you. We want to lift you up. We want to say, Lord, have your way in this time because, Lord, we know it's your word that gives us life, and that's what we need, your abundance of life in us. We praise your most holy name. It's in Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Woo. Well, today, the title of my sermon, if you take a look at your notes, the title of my sermon is, Would You Be God's Next Valentine? Would you be God's next Valentine? As some of you may or may not know, this coming Friday, there is a holiday. You know what holiday that is? You know, many countries celebrate it, right? It's called what? Valentine's Day. And some wives may be thinking, man, I totally forgotten what that day is all about. And, you know, I know, right, for some men, they don't even acknowledge that day. But, you know, I do know some men, though, that either have a wife or a girlfriend, and they're still feeling the pain from last year's Valentine's Day because, you know what? They say, I spent so much money buying flowers and cards and candy and that romantic dinner I had to take my wife to and that fancy restaurant. And top it off, I had to buy some jewelry. And you know, the thing is, you don't necessarily have to do these things, but if you do, hey, praise God, right? But the thing is, yes. The thing is though, right, we do it to express what? Love, right? And here's the thing, though. It's also a time when we show others that we truly care for them. Because you know what? Many people have sent Valentine's, not just to their spouses, right? They also have sent Valentine's Day cards to their kids, their parents, their grandparents, even friends and nieces and nephews. And you know what? It's nice and needed to feel loved by others, isn't it? When someone can give you a card and say, I love you, doesn't it just kind of like tickle your soul? Oh, that makes you feel special, right? But let's take a look at some verses here. Let's look in the scriptures here. It's in your notes. 1 John 4:19. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. We love because He first loved us. And Romans 5:8. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you know, from these verses, we have to understand that the very fact that we are able to love because, guess what? God loved us first. And He showed us this by how? By the sacrifice that He was willing to make by sending His Son to die for us on the cross, even though we may have had an unrepentant heart. Yet we were still sinners. Christ what? Died for us. And here's a good definition of the word love. I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. I like this definition. It says a quality or feeling of strong and constant affection for and dedication to another. And there is no doubt, you would agree with me, that God loves us as this definition describes, because it says strong or constant. And how long is constant? Always, right? And that's how God loves us. It's a strong and constant affection for us. But here's a question. Can we say the same about our love for Him, for God? That our love is always strong and constant. And I know a lot of you can say, yeah, it is. But you know, we got to sometimes look deep within our hearts and ask ourselves, is it really? Because sometimes, you know, we can complain, can we? Sometimes we can say, Lord, where are you? I don't feel your love. And sometimes we may say, I don't know if I love you anymore, Lord. And I'm sure some of us may have been there. But we know God's love never stops. Amen? it keeps on flowing as you believe in Him. But you know, it might surprise you to find out this holiday called Valentine's Day started out as a day to remember a Christian martyr. You know, some people have termed this holiday Saint Valentine's Day. You ever heard of someone saying Valentine's Day as Saint Valentine's Day? And originally, this day was called the Feast of Saint Valentine because it was a religious holiday to remember and celebrate the life and death of a Christian martyr. And this is before the world added all the little cupids, you know, the ones with the wings, and the other things to take the focus off the real reason of this day. Why did man do that? I don't know. They just wanted to, I guess, but that's how the world sees as Valentine's Day. But you know, according to church tradition, Saint Valentine, he was a priest. And he lived in Rome about 270 AD. And at this time, the Roman emperor, he was imprisoning Christians for not worshiping their Roman gods. And Valentine, he was arrested for performing Christian marriages, and he was even accused of helping Christians escape from prison. And during the trial, they asked Valentine what he thought about the Roman gods Jupiter and Mercury. And of course, you know, he had to speak from his heart. His reply was that, hey, there's only one true God, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke it from his heart. And so you know what? The Roman authorities, they were upset. They threw him in prison. And while he was in prison, he continued to witness to the guards, the very ones who cast him into jail. And most of them would tell him to keep his mouth shut, because you know, he would just tell everyone there, the prisoners, other prisoners, and the guards, who would say, Jesus Christ loves you. But they would tell, hey, buddy, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. But he just kept on preaching the word of God. And a lot of them, they didn't even pay attention to what he was saying. But here's the thing. One of the guards, though, that was there, had adopted a blind girl. And the guard asked Valentine if his God would help his daughter. And Valentine said, of course. The way we do this is we just go to our Father God. So he started praying, and he prayed that the girl would receive her sight. And guess what? God answered his prayer, and the girl was healed. When the guard went home, the daughter could see. And she was no longer blind. And think about it. It was highly probable that this guard had tried to turn to the Roman gods, right, that he's accustomed to, and probably there was no response. And therefore, God used this as an opportunity to win the guard and his whole family. You know how many people came to know Jesus Christ just because of this miracle? 46 people was recorded in the history books. His family, his friends, everybody, all these people came to know Christ because of this miracle that God had brought forth. When the Roman emperor heard the news that Valentine was still making converts in prison, of all places, he was furious. You know what he did? He beheaded Valentine. That's why he's a Christian martyr. And you know, here's the thing. When you really think about it, Valentine knew that he would get caught in his Christian works for God. He knew this. Because he did it out in the open. He did it with boldness. And he also knew that when he was arrested, man, he ain't going to bend the truth. He's not going to say, well, I guess Mercury and Jupiter, they're okay. No, he says, they're not real gods. They're false gods. There's only one true God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He spoke it with boldness. He spoke it with authority. And he knew that if he continued to witness in prison, it would mean a certain death. Do you think he knew this? Yeah, he was taking a chance, but he knew that because his love for God was so great, he knew he had to do what he had to do. And he chose to do it anyway. And the question is, why would someone allow themselves to be put in this kind of situation? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because he loved the Lord, his God, and his fellow human so much that he was willing to risk his life to spread the good news of the gospel of Christ. He had the dedication. He had the heart to do what was needed to do to bring forth the word of God. And he did it with passion. He did it with total heart. And you think about it, this puts an entirely new meaning when you think of God asking you, would you be my next Valentine? Think about it. I'm not talking about God giving you a little red or pink heart and says, will you be my sweetheart? Even though he may think of us as his sweethearts. The thing is, no, I'm talking, God may ask, be asking you, will you be my next Valentine? In other words, will you be my next martyr? Will you be the one that says, I'm going to live for you, Father. I'm willing to die for your word. Would you be willing to do it? That's the kind of passion, that's the kind of heart that God wants from us. You don't necessarily have to be a martyr, but do you have that passion inside of you saying, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm serving you. Because God wants that from all of us. He wants that deep, genuine love that we know it comes from deep within our heart. Because you know, it's so easy to say that, hey, I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to give my life fully to Jesus Christ. But you know what? Here in America, that's not put to the test very much. You would agree with me on that. Because, you know, I heard this story once of a group of Christians that were meeting in homes in a country where Christianity was prohibited. And one night, the German soldiers came beating on the door. And upon their arrival, they lined all the Christians up against the wall. And with their guns pointed at them, they asked who were not Christians to leave at once. You know, several, they ran for the door as fast as they could, and the soldiers again stated that they were going to shoot all the Christians, and this was their last chance to escape. Once again, some others ran to the door and left, and finally, a few people stood against the walls with their hands up in the air. And one of the guards, he locked the door. And then all of the soldiers lowered their guns and began to hug the very ones they had threatened to shoot. They explained to the ones remaining that they too were Christians. And that they had to do this because they could not take the chance of revealing themselves to anyone who was not willing to die for their beliefs. Whew. What would you do if some armed people came busting through these doors right now and stated they're going to kill all of the Christians? And they said, if you're not a Christian, go now. Would you be the first to head out that door? Oh, something to really think about there. Because I know what I hope I would do, but really, I had to ask myself, would I really do it? Where's the true heart? Where's the true dedication of what I believe about Jesus Christ? Because I know what Cassie Burnell did. You know who she is? She was asked that very same question at the Columbine High School. Remember years ago? And that person pointed a gun at her and says, are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And then she was shot. And a lot of times we gotta really dig so deep within our hearts and ask ourselves, are we truly dedicated to the Lord God that we believe in? Or is it just something so superficial? Something that is not real or genuine? So today we're going to look at this question. It's in your notes. It says, why should we be God's Valentines? Why should we be God's Valentines? Well, number one here, it says, we will surely come to know God through His love. And right in that blank, no. Let me read to you what it says here in 1 John 4, 7 to 11. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loves us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. I want you to understand this. God loved us so much that He left the beauty of heaven to come into this dark, dark world, into this very darkness of this world. You know, the other day I heard this visitor talking. He's from another country, and he was talking about the beautiful sceneries he had seen while he stayed here in Hawaii. And he described the picturesque views of the sunny, beautiful skies and the vast blue oceans with its white sandy beaches. Hey, we all seen these views, right? That picture of that tranquil sunset and that majestic mountain that's up in the Ko'olau and the tropical forest throughout the land and all the exotic looking flowers and exotic looking birds and the exotic looking fishes. Hey, we can all agree that, hey, God is quite the artist, isn't he? Because guess what? He made it all and he designed it all. He made it pretty beautiful, didn't he? But you know what? It is our sinful flesh that makes this world dark. We have to understand that. The Bible clearly tells us this. And even the prettiest scenes on this planet Earth, you could travel to the very ends of the Earth and find the most beautiful scenery you could ever imagine. You know what? You won't even come close to the place where Jesus Christ is right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's up in the house of God in heaven. And guess what? He left all of that to come here for who? For us, for you and for me. He left all that. Why? Because he loves us. Oh, he loves us. Oh, yes, he loves us. And he not only came to dwell among us, he came to die a cruel and criminal death on a cross. And not for anything that he had done. Now, you got to understand, it's not because of what he did. It's because of everything that we have done and will ever do. In other words, he did it for who? For us. He died for our sins. He carried the weight of our sins of the world because he loved us. And you can imagine this. When we do sin, you can just imagine Jesus looking down upon us and saying, "Paid in full." That's what he's going to say. "Paid in full. I suffered and died for you. So this child of mine, he's paid in full." And some of you can probably think, right, of a few people that say, "Hey, I'd be willing to die for some of my loved ones." You know, you can actually think maybe even more of a few people. But you know what? Be honest, right? There's probably a few people that you might not even want to help cross the street. Right? But we got to understand, did Jesus die for the people he only liked? No, he died for all. And whether your heart had repented or not, Jesus was willing to die for all, even while we still were yet sinners. That's how great the love of our Lord Jesus is. And I believe if I was the only person to have ever lived, he still would have done it. He still would have died, suffered and died for me. And you know, in John 3:16, sometimes I do this. I'll insert my own name. You know the scripture, right? "For God so loved the world." So where there is the word "world," I'll put my own name, my first name. So you look at your notes in John 3:16, you see that? You see where there's blanks? I want you to put your own name. So as we read this together, why don't we say our first name? I want you to really do this and realize, hey, even if it was just you, you would have done it. Why don't we read this together? Where there is a blank, you see that? Put your own first name, all right? Let's read it together. Ready? Go. "For God so loved Ben that he gave his only begotten Son, that when Ben believes in him, he should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know what? Sometimes in your quiet time, do this. Realizing God would do it was just for you. Because that's how much he loves us. Even if it was only you, he would have took the whooping, he would have took the pain, and all the suffering he had to endure, and be hanged on the cross. He would have done it if you were the only person that he had to do it for. Because he loves us so much, and you got to understand, God has prepared a place for us in eternity. Look what it says there in John 14:2-3. It says, "My Father's house has many, many rooms. And if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And you know, the Bible tells us it's a place that there's no tears, no pain, no suffering. And you know, you probably heard of the saying, right? Work for the Lord. The pay isn't much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. Isn't that good? Because, you know, sometimes you may do all this work for the Lord, but, you know, some people don't even take notice. You know, people don't even say thanks. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Think about the retirement plan. God takes notice of what you do for Him. He knows when you do it with your heart. God says, oh, I notice what my child is doing. Oh, wait till he's up here with me. And that's what we got to focus on. Well, whatever we do for the Lord, we do it with heart. We do it with compassion, because we're going to have a retirement like no other up in the heavens, where God will show Himself strong. His love will cover you, and you're going to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here, because I want to be with you here for eternity. That's what God has put in our hearts, eternity. So let's work for the Lord and give Him our very best. Let's not lay up treasures here on this earth. Set our minds on heaven, because we will know, if we truly know Him, we will know that He loves us. Because if you say, I know God, first thing you should say is, I know He loves me. Because that's what it's all about. The Bible says God is love. So if you say you know God, you know love. If you don't know love, you don't know God. Very simple. And you got to understand, He wants us to be with Him right now. And not just only now in the present, but for eternity. Forever and ever. That's what He wants. He wants to be with us forever. Because sometimes we can say, oh, I love this person. I want to be with this person all the time. Especially when we're, you know, dating the person. You know, we're just starting out. And say, so, oh, I want to just be with this person all the time. 24/7, every minute, every hour. But after a while, you're going to have to ask yourself, do I really want to be with this person? Maybe I need a break. Maybe we'll just take a break. But God says, I don't want to take a break. I want to be with you all the time. Is that love or what? He says, nonstop, I want to be with you. You know, I remember reading about this little girl that was taking an evening walk with her father. And you know, in great amazement, she looked up at the stars and she exclaimed to her dad, oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, how wonderfully beautiful the right side must be. Because, you know, we look at, oh, it's so beautiful. But you know what? We ask ourselves, hey, this is the wrong side. The other side is where it's really, really good. Because that's where we know our Father God has prepared a place for us. Amen? Look what it says there in Ecclesiastes 3:11. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. In other words, even though God had said that He would love and care for us, and sometimes we read the scriptures, we say, we know my Father God got my back. We may know, hey, God, He's going to take care of me, and I have no doubt of that. But still, sometimes we can still say, I don't really understand what God is doing in my life. But you know what? Sometimes when we get so concerned about exactly what God is doing, we may start complaining. You know what? It's okay. You don't have to know exactly what God is doing. Just know that He loves you. Really, that's all that you got to know. Focus on that. Don't say, well, why did God do this when I asked for that? Or I wanted it done a certain way, yet God didn't come through for me in the exact way I wanted it. So what? Just say, Lord, I know You love me. I'm trusting in You. You see that difference? When you can say, Lord, it doesn't matter what happens. I went to You with my heart about it, and I'm trusting in You. That's all you gotta know. That's all you gotta know, that God loves you, and He will take care of you. You know, there's a story of a dying young man who asked his Christian doctor to tell him something about the place to which he was going. And you know, the doctor, he kind of fumbled a little bit for a reply, and then he heard a scratching on the door. And then he said, oh, I got the answer. And he turned to his patient and he says, did you hear that? It's my dog. He's the one scratching at the door. He says, I left him downstairs, but he has grown impatient and he has come up because he heard my voice. And he has no idea what is behind this door, but he knows that I'm in here. And the doctor turned to the patient and he says, isn't that the same with you? You don't know what lies behind that door, but you know that your master is there. And you know what? Isn't that really all that matters? Knowing that your master, your loving master, is there. And your master is ready to greet you with open arms. When we will take our last breath here on this planet Earth, can you just imagine, we're going to be in the presence of God. And he's going to be the one that's going to be opening the door for you. And he's going to say, child, welcome to my home. Welcome to your eternity. Wow. So we got to kind of refocus. Sometimes we get so concerned about how things are going on in our life, the circumstances, when God says, hey, just know that I love you. I got more than just your back. I got your whole life. You see that? It's when you focus on the love, you're going to get less anxious. It's when you focus on the very fact that God cares for you, you're going to feel peace. And that's when you're going to settle down and you're going to say, Lord, I need you. Oh, how I need you. You see that? Well, number two here, it says, we will see God through our love for one another. Write in that blank, see. We will see God through our love for one another. I'm going to read to you 1 John 4, 12 to 16. It says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of this world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. And you know, it's so important. When it comes to love, God's love I'm talking about, because you understand, we can love with our own human love, but I'm talking about the love of God. And when it's about the love of God, remember, it has to be done deeply. It's not on the surface, it's not superficial, it's deep into your heart, way in the deepest recesses of your heart, where you know you can love like God. And we know how God loves, right? He loves unconditionally. He loves sacrificially. But that's how we are to love, because basically it's a requirement if you really want to see God. Your love cannot be superficial. It has to be deep. And we will really know if His Spirit is living in you if you can truly love the way God loves. Because the Bible tells us He lives in us. Amen? And if you know that He lives in you, His love should be shining through your life. And we got to choose to love deeply. Because, you know, for some of us, it's a pretty hard task. For even some people to love superficially or on the surface, that may be a hard task just for them. But you know, I was reading about this guy who just had a terrible, horrible week. He was so stressed out, and by the time Wednesday had come, he couldn't wait for Friday to come. And when Friday did come, he was driving home, and oh man, he had to fight some pretty bad traffic. It was really terrible. And when he arrived home, he just wanted to just kick back, relax in his man cave. But much to his surprise, he found his wife getting ready for a dinner engagement that night. And he goes, oh no. And she explained that, you know what, we gotta go because we canceled before. We have to go. And he was like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so stressed, oh no. Well, she said, okay. So he told her to start the car and pull it around to the front, and he would freshen up a little bit. And he said, okay, I'll be right there. Just give me a little time of freshen up. So after a quick cleanup, he exited out of the front door to see his wife standing outside of a running car. And she explained that She had accidentally locked the car keys in the running car. And that was it. All the tension he had been carrying throughout the whole week just exploded all over the place. And all because of the mistake that the wife had made. And you know what he told her? He said he did not know how in the world that God could make her so beautiful and yet make her so stupid at the same time. Can anyone say, ouch?
Ouch.
Oh, that hurt, right? But you know what her response was? She simply replied, well, I guess that God made me so beautiful so that you could love me. And he made me so stupid that I could fall in love with you. And you say, okay, well, what a good comeback, right? But you know what? Here's the thing. You know, sometimes when we're too quick with our words, right, we get ourselves in trouble. And guess what? What's really in our hearts is revealed. And we gotta really catch our words. Because you know what? We live in a world with so much negativity, so many negative words. We gotta make it a point. God is all positive. We should be positive also. Let's speak positive words of encouragement. Let's lift each other up, edify one another so that we can experience the fullness of Christ in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Get excited. Because I am. Because it's the presence of God that fills me. Let's speak positive words to one another so we can truly experience the fullness of Christ. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. There's too much negativity in the world. And we got to make a difference. We got to change all that. Let's be the one to speak positive. The positive flow of God's presence in our lives. Amen. Oh, I got to take a breath there. Praise God. Because look what it says there in 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but not have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And here's the thing. We may have all the right words to say. We can say, oh, Jesus loves you. Oh, you're going to be forever loved by God. But you know what? If you don't have that love in you, truly, I'm talking deep in your heart, guess what? Or just making a lot of noise. Some people, they will hear all these things, but it's just like bang, 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 bang. But if you can really show the love of God, that person will go, oh, I receive it. Because I see it in your life. I see it and I receive it. You see the difference? We gotta show it. We gotta love deeply. We gotta love in a way that we know is of God. Because you know what? People, they can see right through us, right? We're not real. People, I'm sure you can tell, right? If a person is really real or not by what they say. It's by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. And here's the other thing I want you to think about. Did you ever think that you might be the only Jesus someone might ever see? That you might be the very thing that is keeping them from an eternity in hell? Could be you. Because you are a representation of Christ. And someone may be so bitter and just so upset with the world. And if you can truly have the Christ love deepened in your heart, people are going to go, oh man, I need some of that. We got to represent Christ well. Because you may be the only one at that moment that could really touch that person's heart. Because you got to ask yourself, are you living the life that others can see God through you? Do they see something that makes them thirsty for that living water? People need to see God through us. Because someday, whether you are saved or lost, we will all stand before God one day. That's what the Bible tells us. And you've got to give an account for all the words that have been spoken through your mouth. We've got to be careful of what we say. And that brings me to my last point. Number 3, it says, our love will be perfected in God. Our love will be perfected in God. I'm going to read to you 1 John 4:17-19. And as we live in God, our love grows more, what? Perfect. So we will not be afraid on that day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because what? We live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels our fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. And you know, a person who lives in Christ's love will not be ashamed when Jesus Christ does return. Because when we are right with God, we have no fear of God's judgment. Amen? And if you know anything about the court system, or if you watch Judge Judy, you know that the guilty ones show what? Fear. Anyone watch Judge Judy before?
Yeah, she's
yeah, I, and here's the thing. I like watching her. But, you know, that's the thing. When Judge Judy talks to the person, the plaintiff or the defendant, you know, she always wants the people to look in her eyes when they talk to her. I remember one episode, she yelled at the plaintiff, "Look at me! Look at me!" And I remember, I was watching over my bed, and when she said, "Look at me," I looked at her. Oh, I did it! But here's the thing, right? We know that it's fear that will come if we're guilty. You know, and I remember, you know, just Judge Judy with those eyes of the tiger, you know? Just like she's going to rip someone apart. But you know what? That's what it is. Sometimes you got to realize we got to make sure that our lives are right before God. Because if it's not, if we're always in fear, sometimes people will just keep on asking the question, am I really saved? Do I really know Jesus? Because they may have been a Christian for, let's say, 10 years. But you know what? They still question it. Am I really saved? What would happen if Jesus really came back? Would he take me with him? And if you're living a right life, a life that is true to God, you should have no doubt of that. You should say, yes, I know that I will be with God forever because he loves me. I made a decision that I live for him. There's no doubt that I will be with him. So if you were to be taken home right now, I mean, taking home where God is, would you be able to look God in the eye and listen to him saying to you, "Job well done, my child. You've done such an excellent job. You put your whole heart in doing the work of the kingdom for me. Welcome. Child, you did it for me. Welcome." Or would you be afraid of what judgment you are about to face? Oh, think about that one. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't know when, I don't know when we will stand before him. It could be today. There is no guarantee of a tomorrow or even this afternoon. Because some people say, "Oh, okay, I'll wait. I'll make a decision for him someday, but not right now." Well, how can you be guaranteed that you will even see this afternoon? Who knows? But the thing we got to understand is God says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm living for you. And it will be forever because my heart belongs to you." And if you are here today and you have not accepted Christ into your heart, the question is, what are you waiting for? Because you know what? You can't ask for a doctor's excuse permission slip. Imagine we're standing before God. So, okay, let me go to my doctor. He will write me an excuse permission slip. You think God will say, "Okay, go ahead and go get that and I'll excuse you"? No, that ain't going to happen. We got to make a decision for Christ right now. Because this is what the Bible tells us. We got to accept Christ today. Today is the day of salvation because you know what? There will be no justification for your good works. You can go to church, you can give to the poor, you can do all this service for the Lord, and you know what? You may think you are a better person than most of the people who proclaim to be Christians in the church. But you know what? What really matters is, did you give your life to Jesus? Did you say, "Lord, my heart belongs to you"? Because look what it says there in John 14, 6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the only way. You only can get to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I believe in God, you don't have to talk to me about God. But then I ask him, so you believe in Jesus then? Oh no, you know, I believe in other gods. I just believe in one general God. I go, man, the Bible clearly tells us there's only one true God. And the only way to get to heaven in eternity is you must accept His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us you shall be only called a child of God when you accepted Christ into your life. You may say you believe in God, but you know what? If you don't believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter. You must put your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what all that matters. 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says here, look what it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. We got to give an account. All the things that we said, all the things that we have done, whether good or bad, everyone. But if you're a believer, he's going to specifically focus on what you did for him. You see that? He's going to focus on the very fact, because you called yourself a Christian, he's going to ask, Father God may just ask you this, what did you do with my son? What are you going to say? Because it has to be something where we know we did it from our heart. Whatever we did unto the Lord, we did it with our heart, knowing the focus was on who? Him. And we got to understand God, He seeks and desires a relationship with all of us. And we can make things right with Him today. It's simple. You just go to Him with your heart and say, Lord, I want to make it right. You know, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a few minutes. Accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And just think about this. If you really thought today would be the last day for all of us on this planet Earth, I'm sure everyone would make a decision for Him. Right? There's no doubt of that, right? But sometimes people just like to procrastinate. Remember I talked about that several weeks ago? And as I said before, we don't know though when our last day is going to be, when our last breath is going to be. You know, I like to conclude this sermon by first looking at the second part of verse 17 in 1 John chapter 4. And it says here, but we can face Him with confidence because, what does it say there? We live like Jesus here in this world. And you got to ask yourself, how did Jesus live? Was He proud? Was He arrogant? Was He always saying, I am God, bow down before me? Did Jesus ever do that?
He was humble.
He was a humble servant. You're right, brother. And the question is, how do we live like Jesus? You know, here's the thing. I recently read this article. And in the article, it says that on May 2nd, 1962, there was a dramatic advertisement that appeared in the San Francisco Examiner. And the ad said, I don't want my husband to die in the gas chamber for a crime he did not commit. That's what it said. And it says, I will therefore offer my sacrifices for 10 years as a cook, a maid, or housekeeper to any leading attorney who will defend him and bring about his vindication. And you know, one of San Francisco's greatest attorneys, his name is Vincent Hallinan. And he heard about an ad and he contacted Gladys Kidd. That's her name. She was the one who placed the ad. And her husband, Robert Kidd, was about to be tried for the slaying of an elderly antique dealer. And, you know, here's the thing. Kidd's fingerprints had been found on a blood-stained sword in the victim's shop. And during the trial, Hallinan, the attorney now, he proved that the antique dealer had not been killed by the sword, but that Kidd's fingerprints and blood on the sword got there because one day he was toying around with it with a friend. And the lawyer proved this. And the jury, after 11 hours, found Kidd to be not guilty. And attorney Hallinan refused Gladys Kidd's offer of 10 years of servitude, even though she promises, no, I don't want that. And, you know, it just made me think, you know, I can almost picture Jesus up in heaven telling his Father, I don't want all my brothers and sisters on this planet Earth to die eternally separated from you, Father. Will you please send me? Because I'm willing to suffer for them. Because I love them. I want to be their servant. I want to be the servant of all. Father, please send me. And he wasn't willing just to do it for 10 years. He says, I'm willing to do this for eternity. I want to continually serve them forever because I love them. Father, please send me down there. I'm willing to do it. And the Father says, I'm sending. You really think about that. Doesn't that touch your heart to the deepest core? He loves us that much. Church, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Look what it says here in Mark 10:45. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Can you just imagine this? When we're in heaven, Jesus Christ, our Lord, God, and King, he says he wants to serve you and me. Can you just imagine? I pictured this one day where I'm just sitting at a table up in heaven. And Jesus is pouring my favorite drink, which is iced green tea. The Arizona one. And I can just picture this. Jesus doing this for me. He's putting the glass and he has a big smile on his face. For you, my child. He's serving me. Who am I? Why is he serving me? I should be serving you, Father. You're serving me? And he's bringing me the plates of Lao Lao and Pee Pee Kaula because that's my favorite food. Lord, you're serving me? No, Lord, I want you to sit there. I want to serve you. And Jesus says, no, I want to serve you, child. Because that's why I did what I did for you. I did what I did for you. He says, I want to serve you. Because, you know, you think about this, right? When it concerns other gods, right? There are other religions where it's all about, you know, preparing the table before their gods, right? They prepare a table, all the food, and, you know, they burn incense and all that. With our God, it's totally different. God says, you don't have to prepare a table for me. I want to prepare a table for you. I'm going to put this cup on your table where it's going to be overflowing of my goodness in your life. Because I love you. Let me serve you. Where else can you find a God like this? A God whose love is so huge, so immense, so real, so genuine. Look what it says here in Philippians 2, 5 to 8. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a what? Of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The only thing I can say is, man, what love. There's no love that can compare to the love of God. I want to show you this video now. It's a song that I love so much. And you know, it's my nephew's favorite song too. It's Oh, How He Loves Us. And I want you to really take in the words to this song. And there's some clips that is going to be shown. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit's presence just come upon you as you watch this video.
Start over. And I got saved and kept on doing. So then where am I supposed to go? Because apparently Jesus doesn't work for me. He goes, oh, no. We'll work through this. But I'm not letting you go in the meantime. Oh, we'll get there. I'll finish it. I started it. I'll be faithful to finish. Don't give up. Keep walking. Keep pressing in. Keep confessing. But don't give up. I'll heal you. I won't let you go. There is no one who can condemn you. I don't. And if I don't, no one can. Who will even bring a charge against you? You're mine. What court could they possibly charge you in? Everything's mine.
And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending the knee. The weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
That God in eternity looked upon me, foreseeing my fallenness, my pride, my sin, and said, I want that man in my family. I'll do anything to get him in my family. I will pay for him to be in my family with my son's life. That's love, folks. That is mega, off the charts love.
He's jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree.
Because he loves you. Because he loves you. That's why. We've got this weird compartmentalization thing that happens where you don't think that God sees all that you are, or that if he could have somehow knew who you were going to be, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Listen, God knew you were going to be messy. Christ knew that you were going to be messy. God knows that you're going to screw up often. He knows that you're going to be drawn to things that are wicked. He knows that's what the cross is all about. That's the whole point of the cross. Is that you're going to fail, and you're going to stumble, and you're going to feel dirty, and you're going to feel awkward. And the whole point of the cross of Christ is there be this mighty picture of his love and pursuit of you despite you. So the cross is necessary because of you, but it's also the picture we have of just how far God is willing to go because he loves you.
Sure.
I'm not bitter against the church. I just think somehow we've got off, and there's all this talk about morality, and people are conforming themselves to these moral codes, but they don't know Jesus. Who cares? It's the resurrection of Christ that justifies. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so big. It proves that all the wrath of God was poured out. It's gone. For the elect, it's gone. There is no more wrath. There's none. So Jesus sees you and he's like, my son, my daughter, perfect, spotless, blameless.
Praise God. Another question to ask now. I asked that earlier, right? Will you be God's next Valentine?
Yes.
Will you be God's next Valentine? Will you be the one that says, Lord, send me? I'm going to do whatever you ask. Because my life doesn't belong to me anymore, Lord. I'm willing to die for you, Father. Whatever it takes, Father, I'm willing to do it for you. Do you have that heart's passion to serve Him? Knowing whatever you do for the Lord, you do it with passion. Knowing that our Father God up in heaven sees that your heart is wanting to give all unto Him. Because here's the thing. Surely His Son Jesus was our Valentine. And He is our Valentine. He laid down His life for His friend. And there is no greater love than this, than a man who would lay down his life for his friend. Jesus did it. He did it for you. He did it for me. Why? Because of love. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you deeply. Because He was willing to lay down His life for you. Amen? Praise God. But I'm going to bow our hearts before our Father God. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And Father, if that's truly in our hearts, that we are saying, Lord, I want to be your Valentine, Father, because you sent your Jesus to be my Valentine. Lord, I want to be your Valentine. In other words, Lord, I want to lay down my life for you. I want to say, Lord, my life is all yours. Have your way. Just do whatever you want, Lord. I want to be obedient to your word. I want to be all in for you, Father. I'm going to give all of me to you. Father, I want to be your Valentine. Truly, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and you feel this passion in your heart to say, Lord, have your way. Lord, I want to serve you with my whole life. You truly are saying, Lord, I want to be your Valentine. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you just raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm coming fully dedicated to you. I want to surrender my whole life to you. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I surrender all. When I say I want to be your Valentine, I mean it, Father. That means I'm willing to die for your word. I'm willing to die for whatever thing in my life may be causing me to stumble. I'm willing to die and say, Lord, all of me belongs to you. Father, will you just go ahead and take my whole life and have your way? Because I truly want to walk in that path of righteousness. I truly want to walk in that path which will lead to greater and greater blessings. Father, have your way in my life. I don't own it anymore. I relinquish ownership of my life and I say, Lord, it is yours. I give it to you now, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, maybe saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must they do? How do I get started? Well, you know what you can do? You can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you are ready, you're willing, you want to say yes to Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. God says, I want to bless you today. I want to welcome you into my family right now. Why are we waiting? God says, I want to bless you today. And if you're wanting to say yes to Jesus Christ, can you raise your hand right now and say, I want to receive Him into my life. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Let's repeat it. Say it together as a family, knowing that Father God is listening right now. And if you mean these words, I got to tell you, your life is never going to be the same again. Because God, He will come in because He loves you. He will show you. He will show you the way. He will show you how to live a blessed life. Let's say this prayer out loud. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. And I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.